husband doesn't seem to like very much. That's Gopinath, Mamanivedha and Sunna. So there are three parts of it, but I only try to say one part of it. If you can follow the words, well and good, otherwise you can just listen. Shelter at your lotus feet. am your dog. Then he says, oh, Gopinath, how will you reform me? I don't know devotion, and my intelligence is so dull, and I'm drowning in the ocean of material existence. Then he says, Gopinath, this is all your maya. I don't have any power, and neither do I have pure knowledge. And my body is also so much. It's dependent, and it's under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Then Gopinath, give me a shelter at your lotus feet. And this lowly soul, crying, is praying at your lotus feet. Please have, give me a small drop of your mercy. Then Gopinath, you know everything, and you have delivered so many fallen souls. You have so much power, but who is more fallen than me? So please liberate me, deliver me also. Gopinath, you are an ocean of mercy. You have performed so many leelas just for the benefit of the fallen souls. Then in the end, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh Gopinath, you have delivered so many demons, but why is it that in my case you are taking so much time, but and I'm now so tired that I'm just I'm giving up all hope, and I'm just sitting down at your waiting for your mercy to be showered upon me. So what is that great fault I have committed that you have delivered the demons but not me? So this is, there are three other parts, and it's very beautifully, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has expressed very beautifully.
Thank you. ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്കി
ജയം.
ശ്രീരാമപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്ര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്കി രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ചാക്കോർക്കി
സ്വയം
സ്വഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭുനിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാ കുമഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്കി ധാമക്കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്കി ഹരപുരി ധാമക്കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്കി രംഗമായിക്കി പുണ്യമായിക്കി തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സ്വാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ഓ പ്രേമ All glories to the Assembly of Holy. All glories to the Assembly of Holy. All glories to the Assembly of Holy. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauri. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Vishnu Paraya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhagare Shri Bhakti Yanda Swami Namo. Namaste Prabhu.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവധാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യഥ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദ്യുദരദശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദയ ആദിഗവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി അൽസൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭീ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതം ദ്രവസംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരമോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം അനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനിന്ദോ
మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురేన్న కణికాభి కాభి కాభి నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణం పదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదో గీతం పునాదీ ఘనత్రయం శ్రీగోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖ కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం పాదాలయేశ మనిషం ప్రతిభావయామి. సో పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ హాస్ డిసైడెడ్ టు గివ్ అప్ హిస్ బాడీ బై observing what is called prayobhavesham. Prayobhavesham means to give up the body, sitting in one place, not accepting any food or sleep, simply engrossing the mind or simply concentrating the mind and focusing on Krishna and giving up the body. That's known as prayobhavesham. In the Vedic history, there is not many instances where prayobhavesham was performed, but there are one or two instances mentioned also in the past when other great kings performed the same prayobhavesham ceremony. Generally, when in most of the cases, when the kings were afflicted with a duty to go back home, back to Godhead, when they were enthusiastic about it, at the same time, due to their activities, royal activities in this world, which is full of sinful reactions, the kings realizes this at the last minute, and then they decided to give up their body by performing prayobhavesham ceremony. Anyway, that is what Parikshit Maharaj decided to do, and he has come to Ganga performing the prayobhavesham. Why did he come to Ganga? That is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam says there that Ganga comes from Krishna's lotus feet. And there is no better place than this Sri Pada Ganga. In other words, this Ganga Nadi or the Ganges is actually has washed Krishna's lotus feet. And then Lord Vamanadev opened the shell of the universe. The Karanarandam Jalam flowed through that. And it has come to this planet through Lord Shiva's head. So that is the speciality of Ganga. This is the reason why Parikshit Maharaj decided that there is no better place than Ganga to perform this prayobhavesha ceremony, and Parikshit Maharaj arrived there. So when Parikshit Maharaj arrived on the scene, knowing very well what the intention of Parikshit Maharaj was, prompted by Krishna from within, all the other great sages also arrived there. There is a list of the sages: Atri, Vasishtan, Vamadevan, and Parashuram, Vishwamitra, Angiras. There is a large number of sages mentioned there who all arrived on that scene to witness this activity of Parikshit Maharaj. And when they came there, these sages were in discussion about because Parikshit Maharaj was a monarch who was respected very well by the whole world. And among the great sages, he was known as the Rajarshi of the saintly king. And because of his special reputation, because you have to remember that Parikshit Maharaj took over the power at a very, very difficult time in the history. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has left this world. And Yudhishthira Maharaj for seeing the presence of Kali, the arrival of Kali in this world, decided to install Parikshit as the king and decided to leave this world and back to the heavenly planets. So it was in that situation Parikshit Maharaj took over the administration of the planet, and it was a very, very difficult time for him. It was not an easy task altogether. But by his ability and by his special potency as a Kshatriya and as a good administrator, he was able to establish religious principles very strongly in this world, which is actually the duty of the king. And because he did that so nicely, that all the great sages respected Parikshit very much. And therefore, they were very much disheartened, or they were very much painful to see that Parikshit Maharaj was giving up his body and leaving this world. We also have to know that Parikshit Maharaj was performing this because he knew very well that he has performed a very, very sinful activity by throwing the dead snake on the neck of Shamika Rishi. Shamika, this sage, was actually the son of Angiras. Angiras was a sage whom you know in the Vedic history. He is one of the most powerful sages. It was Angiras' son was Shamika Rishi, and Shamika Rishi's son was Sringi, who cursed actually Parikshit Maharaj. So this is how that thing happened. So Parikshit Maharaj, fully aware of this, was preparing himself for this, and all the sages arrived on the scene. Atri, Vasishtan, Vamadevan, Vishwamitran, Bharadwaj, Piparada, Kannamarshi, there are so many names there. Brahmarshi, Vaidya, Devarshi, it says all the Brahmarshis, all the Devarshis, they were all present there. When a king becomes a Rishi or sage, he is known as Rajarshi. When an impersonalist, or when he becomes a Brahman realization, he obtains Brahman realization, he becomes a Brahmarshi. When a demigod becomes a sage, he is known as Devarshi. So like this, there were all the Devarshis, Brahmarshis, all the Rajarshis, they were all, and all the Maharshi. Srinarayana Muni is a Srinarayana Maharshi. He is a Maharshi who has become a great sage by his own effort. So he is a Maharshi. So Maharshis, Devarshis, Rajarshis, and all the great sages who were present there, they were all prompted to come there by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has prompted within the heart for them to come, and they have arrived there. These were almost the same sages who were present there at the time when Bhishma Dev departed this world. If you see the list between the two, when Bhishma Dev departed, the sages who were present there, they were listed also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, the list of the sages when Parikshit departed, if you look at them, you will see that almost all the sages who were present there at the time of Bhishma's departure, they were also present at the time when Parikshit Maharaj was leaving the body. So this is how the sages arrived there. And when the sages who were present there, they started discussion about what we should do now to help Parikshit Maharaj, because they were very sad to hear that Parikshit Maharaj was going to give up his body. So while discussing this, Parikshit Maharaj referred to Takshaka, who was going to come and bite him in 7 days. That was the curse from Sringi. Sringi said within 7 days, Takshaka will come and bite you and you will die. This was the curse. So it says there, Uhagalakshako ashatvalam dashatvalam gayada vishnu ghada. Srimad Bhagavatam says there that Parikshit Maharaj was saying to all the sages who were present there, please sing the glories of Krishna. Ashatvalam gayada vishnu ghada. Please keep singing the glories of Krishna. Let me hear that. And in that hearing about Krishna, let me leave this body. But there he used a special word to reference to Takshaka. Kuhaga, he has word Kuhaga Takshaka, that Takshaka is a very cheating person. It is that Takshaka who is going to bite me in the next 7 days' time. But meanwhile, please sing the glories of Krishna so that I may be able to listen about Krishna before I leave this body. This was Parikshit Maharaj's strong desire. So why he said that Kuhaga about Takshaka, you will also see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, gopis calling Krishna as Kuhaga. Kuhaga means one who is cheating, one who cheats. In other words, one who is deliberately cheats, and such a person, is known as Kuhara. But Gopi is called Krishna in another instance out of their anger. In the Gopiya Gita, if you see, you will look there, you will find in the Bhagavatam that Gopi is referring to Krishna as Kuhara no mana chobhayandihi. That Kuhara, they called Krishna as Kuhara because Krishna has left them in the middle of Rasa dance and went away, and that upset them so much, they called Krishna as Kuhara. And it's the same word they were Parikshit Maharaj was using against Takshaka. Between Takshaka and Parikshit Maharaj, there is an enmity behind them. There is a story behind that. There is an incident which happened some time back which caused this enmity. Otherwise, why is that Shringi has cursed? Okay, Shringi has cursed that Takshaka should bite Parikshit Maharaj. But Takshaka himself took special interest to come and bite Parikshit, because he was also very enthusiastic to do it. And that is what is mentioned about that why Takshaka has come to that situation. Sometime before this incident, when Krishna was on the planet, once Krishna and Arjuna were walking along the Yamuna River. They were chatting of being friends, good friends. They were walking together. And that time, Agni Bhagavan, the demigod of fire, came and paid his obeisances to, in the form of a Brahmana, he came and paid his obeisances to Arjuna and Krishna. So Krishna recognized who it was, but Arjuna didn't recognize who this person was, this Brahmana was. So anyway, Krishna wanted to hear from him what was the purpose of the visit. The Agni Deva said to Arjuna and Krishna that for a very, very long time I have been endeavoring very hard to eat Gandhava forest. This Gandhava, his forest was very particularly mentioned there, that Agni Deva wanted to eat that forest. Agni's food is actually fire. He takes over, he eats everything. That's the way he eats. And through the fire god, the demigods receive. There is two ways in which the demigods are fed: through the mouth of the Brahmanas and through the fire. That is how all these sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices, are meant for. So anyway, in this instance, what has happened was that Agni Deva wanted to eat Gandhava forest. Arjuna asked him that why do you want to eat particularly Gandhava forest? Could you not eat some other forest? I will provide it for you. But no, Agni Deva insisted that he would like to eat Gandhava, but he wanted some support from Arjuna and Krishna, because every time he tried to eat Gandhava forest, Indra immediately showered showered the rain and extinguished the fire. And this was becoming difficult for Agni to eat Gandhava forest. The reason why he wanted to eat Gandhava forest was, sometime before this, Durvasa Muni was performing a sacrifice for a king. And in that sacrifice, Durvasa Muni's havis, which was offered to the fire, had some ingredients which has upset Agni Deva's stomach or digestion. So Agni Deva, after eating that havis from the sacrifice, he went to Lord Brahma and told him that he is having difficulty after offering the havis from the sacrifice of Durvasa Muni. Brahma Deva told Agni that if you eat that Gandhava forest, all the plants and the trees in that Gandhava, when they go into inside you, along with the animals who are present there, that will clear that indigestion and you will get back to your normal health. So taking this instruction from Brahma, Gandhava forest he wanted to eat, and he came over. Now when he came over, he was not in a position to eat because Indra was constantly objecting to it. The reason why Indra was objecting was that Indra's good friend is Takshaka. And this Takshaka's wife and son, they were along with Takshaka, lived in the Gandhava forest. So to protect Takshaka and his family, Indra was taking this action every time when Agni wanted to eat the Gandhava forest. So eventually what happened was, Krishna and Arjuna told Agni that if you get the right weapons for us, we will stop Indra showering the rain on the Gandhava forest and you can eat up to your satisfaction. Agni Deva went back to Varuna, the god of water, in the water, and they discussed and they brought special weapons. And that is how Agni Deva handed over this Gandivam, the bow, to Arjuna at that time, which Arjuna used very nicely in the Mahabharata war to kill so many other opponents. So it is how, that is how Gandiva came to Arjuna. So Arjuna got Gandivam and Krishna got Kaumodagi, a big cloud. And along with that, Krishna and Arjuna went and stood as gods in near the Khandava forest and allowed Agni to eat that Khandava forest. While eating that Khandava forest, Indra started again showering the rain. But Arjuna used his Vayavyastra, which means that he was able to use the air as a weapon and completely throw away the clouds from above the forest, and not even a drop of water could fall into the forest. And that way he defeated Indra and allowed Khandava forest to be eaten by Agni. So this is the background of that. When this thing happened, somehow or the other, Takshaka was away from that forest. Only Takshaka's son and wife were there in the forest, and the wife got killed in that fire, but the son Ashwasena, somehow he escaped from there. So because the son escaped and the wife was killed, when Takshaka came back, he was very much bereaved by the death of his wife, and he wanted to punish Arjuna for this action, for supporting Agni. But at the same time, he didn't get an opportunity to do that because he was always protected by Krishna. So this happened, and later on, Takshaka decided that when Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj that he will be beaten by Takshaka, Takshaka thought that this is the right opportunity to take his revenge on Parikshit Maharaj and thereby on Arjuna. So this was the reason why Takshaka was very enthusiastic to go and to bite Parikshit Maharaj. So when Parikshit Maharaj was preparing for Prayavavesham, and on the seventh day, when Takshaka was coming to see Parikshit Maharaj, before he was bitten by him, he took the form of a Brahmana. In disguise, he was coming to see him. When this Brahmana was coming on his way, he met another Brahmana who was actually the Brahmana known as Kashyapa Maharshi. Kashyapa Maharshi met Takshaka on the way. Kashyapa Maharshi was a sage and he was a Brahmana, and he had a special ability to relieve people from the poisonous effect of the biting of a snake. And almost any powerful snake poison could be taken away by Kashyapa Maharshi's capacity. He was capable of doing that. And when these two Brahmanas met with each other, Kashyapa Maharshi didn't know who the other Brahmana was, because it was Takshaka who was in the disguise. And then they started asking each other, "My dear Brahmana, where are you going?" So the other Brahmana said to him, naturally Brahmana's conversation is always about the charity, what they are going to get. So this Brahmana asked Kashyapa Maharshi. Kashyapa Maharshi told openly to him that I am going to see Parikshit Maharaj, the reason being that I heard that Takshaka is going to come and bite him. And if Takshaka bites him, if I am able to take away that poison from him, the king is going to give me a lot of presents and I am going to take it and go home. So this was Kashyapa's position. Takshaka at that time revealed his true nature to Kashyapa Maharshi, Kashyapa Brahmana. He told Kashyapa that if you go and do that, and that I am myself Takshaka actually, it is nice that we met each other now. But before you go, let me tell you something. If it is the presence that is actually giving you some attraction to go and do this to Parikshit, rather I will give you much more expensive presents than Parikshit is going to give you. So please don't do that. And he gave a lot of presents to Kashyapa and sent him away from there. So Kashyapa Maharshi did not get that opportunity to come to Parikshit after he was bitten by Takshaka. So Takshaka proceeded, and when they met each other, Takshaka and the Kashyapa Brahmana, they had a lot of questions to ask each other. Takshaka said to Kashyapa Maharshi that this poison what I am going to inject is so powerful, nobody will be able to take it away from Parikshit Maharaj. Kashyapa Maharshi said to him that due to Brahma's benediction, what I have, that I am in a position to remove any powerful poison from anybody. So they had an argument with each other. So then they wanted to experiment it. First of all, it started as an argument, and then they wanted to experiment it. So there was a tree standing there, and on that tree, a person was sitting there, and he was cutting the wood for firewood. He was doing that. So Takshaka said that, if you want to see the effect of my poison, you can see it now, saying that he bit this tree, a branch of the tree, As soon as he bit the tree, the whole tree went into ashes. Along with the person who was sitting there and cutting the wood, he also turned into ashes. Kashyapa Maharshi said to Parikshit, "Do you want to see the strength of my mantras, what I can do?" And he started chanting the mantra, and as soon as he touched the tree, the whole tree came back to its own original life again. Along with the person who was dead and become ashes, have come back into its original form. Tatshaka was convinced that Kashyapa Maharshi was capable of removing any person from that point. And it is then that Kashyapa Maharshi was offered all the presents by Tatshaka, and Kashyapa Maharshi left at that scene. Tatshaka went to see Parikshit at that instance. So when Tatshaka beat Parikshit, in other words, Tatshaka touched Parikshit and Parikshit had given up his body at the end, Parikshit had as four sons, four boys. And out of the four boys, Janamejaya was the eldest boy. So he made Janamejaya as the king. And when Janamejaya became the king, Janamejaya was very much grieved by the death of Parikshit. But what can be done? He has committed a sinful activity. And the result of that activity is that he had to die by Tatshaka biting him. So Janamejaya decided, that this Parikshit Maharaj, who was bitten by Tatshaka, has done a very, very cruel thing. So he was pondering over this matter for some time, and in between, a Brahmana came to see him. And this Brahmana had also some strong enmity towards Tatshaka. So he wanted to square it up. He realized that Janamejaya is very much disturbed by Tatshaka's biting Parikshit, and it is the right opportunity to bring Tatshaka in control or to kill Tatshaka. So this Brahmana was known as Uttanga. Now, if you look into Uttanga's history, you will see there that Uttanga was Uttanga, there was a sage by name Dhaumya Maharshi. Dhaumya was a sage like Vedavyas Maharshi. There were so many sages who were very, very great souls. And this Dhaumya Maharshi was present at the time when Parikshit Maharaj was born. It was Dhaumya Maharshi who actually talked about Parikshit Maharaj's future to King Maharaj Yudhishthira at the time when he read the chart. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Dhaumya Maharshi was a very, very strict personality in the sense he had three disciples, Upamanyu, Aruni, and Veda. They were three of his disciples. In those days, we are now talking about thousands and thousands of years, much before the Kali Yuga. In that time, Dhaumya Maharshi he had these three disciples who were staying with him. In those days, spiritual masters were different in the sense they followed the code very, very strictly. Like, Dhaumya Maharshi wouldn't accept any disciple unless he knew that the person is serious about spiritual life. And the way he used to test his disciples were, when they came asking him for spiritual instructions, for months together, he used to put so many questions to him and find out, is this person really ready for spiritual life? Because spiritual life, everyone is not ready. Spiritual life also, one has to become qualified for spiritual life. That's what it was. That this Dhaumya Maharshi immediately knew, tested everyone with very, very severe tests he used to give them. Both Aruni and Abhimanyu, they were given very stringent tests. And eventually they passed, and only after testing the ability of the disciple, the guru will accept the disciple. That was the system then, unlike little different today. So they had such serious convictions that they didn't want to increase the number of disciples. They accepted a few, And normally the system was, the disciple went to the guru rather than guru were chasing the disciple. So, anyway, that was the quality of Satyayugam, and Kaliyuga is totally opposite. So, in the Satyayugam and the other yugas, the gurus were so powerful, they lived in one place and the disciples went to them with the desire for spiritual life. That means, if they were going to the guru, the spiritual master, they were willing to surrender to such an extent that they had the complete and absolute faith in the ability of these great sages, and they were willing to do anything that will give them the realization from the great sages. Not only that, these sages were so powerful that they were not only capable of convincing the disciple about the spiritual nature of the living entity, but also they were capable of making them realize it before they left their Brahmachari ashram and went away from their sages' home. So they were such capable people. They were not they were so different in other way. Dhaumya Maharshi was a great sage like this. Vedavyasa Maharshi was also the same thing. So Dhaumya Maharshi, in that great sage, he immediately said to this last of the three disciple Veda, that he put him into a lot of very, very severe tests, and eventually he accepted him as his disciple. But once he is accepted as a disciple, there was no question of changing mind or thinking twice whether is he my right guru or is he my right disciple. That's already fixed there. So Dhaumya Maharshi was very, very strong in his instructions, and his disciple of Dhaumya, who was also known as the Veda, he truly surrendered himself to Dhaumya. The result was that after 15 years of Brahmachari life with him in the ashram, along with the other disciples and the family, when he finished his Brahmachari ashram, he was realized himself. At least they will bring you to the platform of Aham Brahmasmi. That realization will be there before the Brahmachari leaves the ashram. So, Vedai Sarvani Karmani Abhalaparadaya Varnidani Iti Budhvatani Tvai Arpidani Avahi Samanajaranyani Maishkarmyami Ishem. That realization, what they have got from that, the spiritual education from the sages, were so strong that these Brahmacharis, when they left the ashram, they were glowing with the Brahmacharis effulgence in their head. Such was the powerful of the Brahmachari life they had in the association of these great sages. Anyway, Dhaumya Maharshi trained him, kept him as a Brahmachari for 50 years, and then he left the ashram. So while leaving the ashram, Dhaumya Maharshi put both his hands on his disciple Veda and told him, now you can go and enter into Samavatana, perform Samavatana ashram, perform the ceremony of Samavatana and enter into the householder life, and that is how he was blessed. Veda lived there, and this Veda went through so many difficult times in his Brahmachari life, and afterwards Veda started training others into spiritual life. So Veda had a disciple by name Uttanga. This Brahmana came to Veda, just like Dhaumya Maharshi, he came to Veda to learn from him the science of self-realization or spiritual realization. So from Dhaumya Maharshi, Veda learned the science of spiritual life. From Veda, Uttanga learned the spiritual life. Veda did not put Uttanga into severe tests, exactly like the way Dhaumya did with Veda. Veda was feeling so much compassion that he felt that such severe tests on the young boys will not be very appropriate. So he was much more relaxed than Dhaumya Maharshi. Anyway, from Veda, Uttanga learned the science. And at the end of his Brahmachari ashram, Uttanga was bidding farewell to his spiritual master and leaving the ashram. So you can imagine, at that time in the ashram, the spiritual master Veda, his wife Guru Patni, and Uttanga was the only three persons who lived there. So Uttanga asked Veda, What shall I give it to you as Guru Dakshina? That means while leaving the Brahmachari ashram and going away, the disciple is supposed to give to the spiritual master Dakshina. Or in other words, what the spiritual master wants to ask, it is up to him. And the disciple, depending on the capability of the disciple, the spiritual master has the right to ask for what he wants. So, but our Veda was so kind that he told Uttanga that he doesn't want any dakshina. He is happy that he has finished his Brahmachari ashram and he was going home. But if you are particular about it, you can go and ask my wife, Guru Patni, what she wants, if she wants anything at all. So it was then that Uttanga decided to go and see Guru Patni and ask her if she would like anything as a Guru Dakshina. Just like in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, you will find that when Krishna finished his education with Sandivani Muni, Sandivani Muni asked Krishna for a Guru Dakshina. And it is very well known what Guru Dakshina was. He was asking Krishna. Because Sandivani Muni's son, who was killed by a Shambharasura, taken to the higher planetary systems, he wanted him to bring him back, and Krishna did that for him. Gatva Sandivani Madajalushpashti Matrai Rahobi Sarvatnyastvam Sahamusarinam Sarvavidyam Grihitvam Putram Nashtam Yamanilena Adahridam Dakshinatam Dattva Dasmai Nijaviramada Nadayan Panchajanyam. Panchajanan, he was the demon who actually stole Sandivani Muni's son. And it was that son Krishna brought him back and gave as Guru Dakshina to his spiritual master Sandivani Muni. Because Sandivani Muni knew who Krishna is. You can ask anything to Krishna, you can get it. So knowing very well, Sandivani Muni asked that, I would like to have my son who has been taken away by Panchajanan, the demon, and I would like to get him back. And Krishna did that for him. So Guru Dakshina is such an important thing in the Vedic tradition that the brahmacharis generally did what they were asked to do. So when our Uttanga went to the Veda's wife told him that he would like to receive the eardrops of the wife of Porsha. Porsha was a king, and his queen had some eardrops which this Guru Patni wanted to wear and serve the feast for the Brahmana on the fourth day from then. Uttanga could not understand why this queen was asking for this special thing. But after all, it is a request and it has to be done. Uttanga decided to go and find it. Uttanga went to the king, Porsha, and asked Porsha that he has come with a special request. I am a brahmachari. I have just left the ashram. I have finished my brahmachari ashram. Before I go into my household life, I would like to offer a Guru Dakshina to my spiritual master's wife who has requested me to bring these eardrops from the queen. So if you would allow me, I will go and request the queen to hand them over to me. So those days, because in the Vedic system, the kings were very much responsible, they valued a brahmachari, especially brahmacharis when they come for bhiksha. It was the duty of the king to provide everything what the brahmacharis required, because in the it was the necessity of the Vedic culture that this Varnashram Dharma sustained and survived. And for that purpose, they were willing to provide any assistance what was necessary. Brahmachari has no money. He is dependent on the society. It is the duty of the householder and the king to maintain them. That is their responsibility. So knowing well, this Brahmachari has come after his education. It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that to find a wife for a Brahmachari is the duty of the king. To such an extent, king is responsible. So after this king, Paushyam, he allowed the Brahmachari to go and ask the queen for the eardrops. And when he approached the queen handed it over straight to Uttanga, but told him that these eardrops are very, very special. And Takshaka is waiting to steal them at any time. So be careful if you are taking them to somebody, and it could happen. So, well, Uttanga thought that, oh, this is not such a thing that Takshaka will not be able to do anything to me. Because Uttanga was confident in his own ability, in the spiritual strength he had. He realized that he will be in a position to deal with Takshaka. So this is what was giving him the strength. So at that mood, in that mood, he took the eardrops and he started walking away from the palace of the Paushya king. And when he was walking away from the palace, sometime later, Takshaka is watching all this situation. Takshaka is not also an ordinary living entity. Takshaka knew what was going on. He had the responsibility to make sure that he does his job right. So he found out that this Uttanga is going to steal. Uttanga is going to borrow this the eardrops and hand it over to the Various wife, the Gurvatni, and he was going to take it away. And Tachaka had his eyes on this eardrops for a long time. So what Tachaka did was, he took the form of a Pakhanda Bhikshu. Pakhanda Bhikshu means, Pakhandis are those who are expelled from the Vedic culture, or who has left the Vedic culture, and who are out of Vedic culture. So if you take the form of a Bhikshu, a beggar, in that form, Pakhandis as they are called, in the fourth canto you will see, when Prithu Maharaj actually was ruling the planet, a lot of Pakhandis were there. And Pakhanda Bhikshu, so it was a beggar in the form of Pakhandam. Papa Gandham, that is a word actually, it becomes short form as Pakhandam. Pakhandam means that's a sinful activity due to which they were expelled from the Vedic tradition. They are not in the Vedic tradition anymore. They have followed some strange and deviations from the Vedic traditions. Anyway, so he took the form of a Bhikshu and he was walking along the path when our Uttanga was going along with the eardrops. When he saw that, Uttanga saw this Pakhanda Bhikshu, immediately he realized that this is a person, is a Pakhandi, and it's necessary to bathe himself. So he decided to bathe and went into a tank to bathe himself. At that time, he took these eardrops and kept it on the bathing cut, on the stones, and he went into the water. By the time he came back, Tachaka managed to get hold of these eardrops and run away from there. So as soon as he ran away from there, immediately he noticed this. Our Uttanga noticed this and he started chasing this person who was running away. Uttanga didn't know that it was Tachaka who was taking him running away. After a while, Tachaka kept running and Uttanga was chasing him. Suddenly, Tachaka changed his form into a snake and went into one of the holes. And when this happened, only Uttanga understood that this was the same Tachaka who was mentioned to him, who was told by the queen, Pausha's queen, that he has to be careful about Tachaka, and it should be Tachaka who has done this. So he started following Tachaka right up to Nagalogam. Nagalogam is the planet where these snakes live. So when he got there, Uttanga was capable, because these brahmacharis, they were not brahmacharis of today, they were the brahmacharis of that yuga, where they had the access to the higher planetary systems, where they could to the lower planetary systems. So much powerful that in so many subtle forms they were able to move into different planetary systems and perform so many wonderful activities. Uttanga followed him right up to Nagalogam. When he got there, he saw there the snakes were there, so many of them in the Nagalogam. And there was this, Tachaka was also there with this eardrops, but he was not willing to hand it over to him. At that time, he saw a horse there and a man standing there. The man told Uttanga the purpose of his visit. When he told Uttanga that you start blowing air through the rectum of a horse which is standing there, and immediately the smoke started coming out. He smoked the whole Nagalokam, or the planet of the snakes, so powerfully that immediately Tachaka had no alternative except to come and hand over the eardrops to Uttanga. So Uttanga got the eardrops. By then it was the fourth day where the Guru Patni, or the spiritual master's wife, wanted to serve the feast for the Brahmanas, and so he straight away proceeded back to the spiritual master's home, handed out the eardrops to his the spiritual master's wife, and he pacified the spiritual master and his wife. He was very pleased about that. But at the same time, this incident made Uttanga very bitter about Tachaka. So now Uttanga has an opportunity to take an action, because he knew that Janamejaya was very much upset about this incident of what Tachaka has done to Parikshit Maharaj. So he wanted to take revenge, but Janamejaya had never knew anything what happened between Tachaka and Kashyapa on the way, that they discussed and they had all these tests done between them. This was all unknown to Janamejaya. Janamejaya was not aware of that. But Uttanga knew about it. So Uttanga straight away went to the palace of Janamejaya, and he told the ministers that what sort of Kshatriya king is this Janamejaya. His father has been beaten by Tachaka, and okay, he beat Tachaka because Sringi has cursed him. I can understand. But Kashyapa Maharshi could have taken away that poison. He didn't allow that, did he? He stopped Kashyapa coming in by handing over presents to him. He sent him away. And the result is that now we have lost Parikshit Maharaj. Janamejaya as a Kshatriya should take revenge on that. So the ministers were told about the story, what happened, this person, what happened between the Kashyapa Maharshi and Takshaka, who was in the form disguised as a Brahmana, and their arguments and their test on the tree was actually informed by the person who died on the tree, and he got back his life again. He came back and told the story to everybody who were present there. So when Janamejaya heard about Uttanga's arrival, and Uttanga informed Janamejaya that he must punish Takshaka, Janamejaya initially was not aware of this incident. So he called his ministers and asked them, why should I punish Takshaka? After all, Takshaka has done, he was cursed by Sringi, and he has done that. But ministers told him that Takshaka was only doing it because Sringi has cursed him, that's fine. But nobody has told Takshaka to stop Kashyapa coming in and taking away the poison from Parikshit. Parikshit would have been still living if Kashyapa Maharshi was allowed to come here and do the necessary things for taking away the poison. But that wasn't happening. So slowly, Janamejaya was getting a little bit bitter about it with Takshaka. Why did Takshaka do that? Why Takshaka has such an enmity with Parikshit Maharaj? So Uttanga actually wound him up and told him that this is not acceptable. That's a Kshatriya. You should actually punish Takshaka right at this stage. And that is how the famous sacrifice of the snakes started by Janamejaya. Janamejaya found out some of the most powerful brahmanas who had the complete technology behind them to get anyone and everyone in this universe and fall into the fire they wanted. It's like they had created this fire, this sacrifice, Sarpayagam, as it is referred to. And this Sarpayagam, all the Brahmanas were requested to chant, and Janamejaya determined as he was to get one after the other. He said the whole race of the snakes should come and die in this fire because of the sinful activity, what they have done to my father. So initially, the Brahmanas started chanting the mantras. And one after the other, from Nagaroga, snakes were coming and falling into the fire. From different planets they were coming, not only from this earthly planet. Such were the powerful mantras they were chanting. And as more and more snakes were falling, the Brahmanas were also getting very excited about it. They were also feeling that their mantras are really showing its potency and power. They were getting an opportunity to test the power of their mantras. And they were doing it so effectively that Janamejaya was witnessing all these things at that time. And eventually, in spite of all that, Takshaka was not falling into it. Takshaka had to come and fall into the fire. That was the goal. See, in the Vedic system, it was such a subtle way of handling these situations that today sometimes you think that for one person to get one enemy, so much energy is spent and they're still not able to get him. They are finding it so difficult to get him. And here we are, Janamejaya sitting there in front of the fire and getting the enemy coming to the fire by the powerful mantras, what the Brahmanas were able to chant and do it. And that is the subtle nature of the Vedic mantras, and that is the subtle and the capabilities of these mantras, which is much more powerful than the technology what we have today, which we claim ourselves to be so proud of. But their technology was much more finer and much more subtle, and were capable of getting the right person on the spot when they want him to do, and not the way that we kill so many for getting one person. Still we don't get the person whom we want at the end. And this is, what type of technology is this? This question comes. This is the foolishness of the whole thing. It is very, very clear from this. That technology means that you have to have that precision of getting that person whom you're chasing after. But you can't get him. You're getting anything else. But so this is the mantra of the Janamejaya's Brahmanas who are performing that Sarpayagam. And eventually Takshaka went to Indra, and Takshaka was taking shelter of Indra, not willing to come to the fire, and he was holding on to Indra's feet and saying, requesting for shelter. Indra told Takshaka that you will not have to fear because I will protect you. But when the Sarpayagam was getting stronger and stronger, the Brahmanas were chanting more and more powerfully. Eventually, Indra himself was going to fall into the fire. A stage came like that. Along with Takshaka, Indra's seat started shaking from there, from the heavenly planets. So then only Indra realized how serious the situation was. And this is what is happening in this earthly planet. And this is the powerful sacrifice. Vedic sacrifices are not something which is done for in a simple way. Every single sacrifice. Why Karmakanda is so powerful in the Vedic literature? Karmakanda section of the Vedas is running into Krishna has given so much in the Vedic sacrifices that through these sacrifices Krishna given the opportunity for the human race to flourish in this world and at the same time take the benefit and go back home back to the spiritual world. That's how Karmakanda came into existence. And these sacrifices which were performed by the sacrifice which was performed by Janamejiya's Brahmanas, they were also capable people. They were not ordinary Brahmanas who were looking for Dakshina only. They were people who had the capacity to do that, and when it's chanted in the proper way, these mantras provided its result. And people who had the right sadhana and strength behind them, they were capable of doing that. Those days have gone now. It will never come back again in this planet. But still it is interesting to note that Vedic sacrifices, Vedic mantras, and the sages who invented these mantras or who have brought these mantras into this world through their power, they were not personalities of this of caliber of today. But anyway, eventually the Sarpayagam continued, and by Indra's arrangement he went approached Brahma, and there was a Brahmana by name Astikya. Janakaru's son he was. Astikya was sent here to encourage or to persuade our Janamejiya to withdraw from this sacrifice, because the stage came to such a stage that Janamejiya could not stop it now. It was advancing faster and faster. As and more snakes were falling, it was getting faster and faster. The enthusiasm was increasing among the Brahmanas to bring them in. And Takshaka was really in a shaken condition. He knew that he was going to lose his body along with Indra in that sacrifice. It was at that time that he was sent here, this Brahmana Astikya. Astikya came and he stood outside the sacrificial arena where the Sarpayagam was going on. And he started glorifying the king Janamejiya without any reservation. He simply glorified Janamejiya and he glorified all the Brahmanas who were performing the sacrifice. After some time, when he started glorifying like this, Janamejiya called him and asked him what was the purpose of this glorification. He said, Astikya told him that I have only one request, that if you will allow me, then I would like to glorify you further. Janamejiya fell into that flattery of Astikya, and Astikya told him, if you give me that promise, then I will like to continue. Janamejiya offered that. He said, if that's the case, you should stop this Sarpayagam. Stop this sacrifice, what you are performing now. There is another story behind it, it goes with a long story in Mahabharata, why Astikya had done this to save Takshaka. So anyway, Takshaka was somehow saved from that situation. But that is how Takshaka survived. But Takshaka's enmity with Parikshit Maharaj is mentioned like this, that Takshaka decided to bite Parikshit, but at the same time, that Janamejiya, who performed the sacrifice, he has committed a sinful thing. It was unnecessary. What Janamejiya did was also a wrong thing. Because Janamejiya, Takshaka has done something wrong. That doesn't mean the whole race of snakes should be completely killed. That also is like the today's war, that what we do, one person has done, kill everybody. So the same theory was there also in Janamejiya's thought, which was a sinful activity. So when that happened, Janamejiya had to pay for the price for it. The result was that before long time, he got the disease known as leprosy. He got leprosy in his body. And many of the great physicians, many of these great sages were great physicians as well. And many of these great physicians, they tried to cure Janamejiya's illness. At that time, Janamejiya could not be cured by any of them. And at that time, among them, the greatest sage who was the greatest authority on the Ayurveda was Atri Maharshi. Atri Maharshi told Janamejiya that I do not have any medicine in my hand to cure this illness. You have one option left, and that is you go down south to Kerala, and there is the temple in deity in Guruvayur where you can go and spend 41 days, take the shelter of the deity there, and then you'll be cured from this leprosy. That is how Janamejiya came to Guruvayur and spent 41 days there and completely cured and went back to Hastinapur. So this is the story of King Janamejiya, who is the son of Parikshit Maharaj, who was bitten, who was actually caught hold of leprosy due to his sinful activity of killing the snakes in the sacrifice. But coming back to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj was, we were talking about Parikshit Maharaj and the Kali. Kali actually, we said, talked about this. Dhyudam panam striyasunam yatra dharmaschado vidaham. That these four things which were allowed by Kali to occupy by Parikshit Maharaj, why was these four places given? That is also another question to look into. Then, and what is the subtle effect of approaching, of associating with these four centers? Dhyudam panam striyasunam yatra dharmaschado vidaham. Punascha jayamanam jadarubamadal prabhum. That again, Kali requested Parikshit Maharaj that he be provided some other place to live apart from the four places, and then wherever there is extraordinary, excessive wealth or opulence is there, there also Kali was given the permission to live. Now, if you look at these four places, Dyudam panam striyasunam. Dyuda means gambling. And this gambling propensity in human society has been always there. It's always there. Dyudam panam striyasunam. Dyuda means gambling. So if you look into Mahabharata, you will find a couple of occasions what gambling has created. If you look, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was, all the Kshatriyas were into gambling. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was called by Duryodhana once for gambling. And the result was that Yudhishthira Maharaj had to surrender the whole kingdom, including his wife, to Duryodhana and the other Kauravas. But before that happened, although Yudhishthira was winning the gambling, Shakuni, who was the advisor of Duryodhana, actually told so many lies there. So in other words, gambling always results in dishonesty. In other words, the truth goes away from the human mind as soon as one becomes a gambler. This is the result of that. Gambling actually makes a person more and less truthful, or he loses the quality of truthfulness by becoming associating with gambling. So that is what it is mentioned. Dyudam panam striyasunam. That out of these four, dyudam, or the gambling, the immediate effect of the human mind is that he loses his truthfulness. That then what happened? Dyudam panam. Panam means intoxication. What is the effect of intoxication on a human person? The effect of intoxication is, it is mentioned that, because when Kali asked for permission to live in this world, that these four locations were given to him. And when these locations were given, it is understood that Kali has influenced that person to associate with those four places. So panam means intoxication. Intoxication, the effect is that Kali brings false pride into the mind of a person who actually associates with intoxication. So that is the effect of the intoxication. Dyudam panam striyasunam. Striyasunam. Sriya means that of immoral activities with women, immoral association with man and woman. When that happens, what is the result? The result of that will be that the person, the bodily concept of life will increase. In other words, the person will become, his identification with the body will increase. In the Shastras, it is mentioned that avidya or knowledge, there are different kinds of ignorance also in our human mind. The yogic acharyas, acharyas in the yoga tradition, Ashtanga yoga tradition, they have given very, very specific names to each type of ignorance what we have. Avidya, asmidam, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham. These are the fine kinds of ignorances that influence us in a subtle way, which we are not aware of. We are not even aware that we are ignorant, or to talk about what kind of ignorance we have got. We are thinking, oh, we are such pure people in this world, and we are walking around happily. But from the Acharya's point of view, avidya, asmida, ragam, dvesham, and abhinivesham, these are the different kinds of ignorance that manifest in us from the very time of creation itself. That Brahma, when Lord created this human society, all these ignorances are packed into us very nicely, and it starts coming out as and when it gets an opportunity associated with the three modes of material nature. So that's how it happens. This human body is not as that pure as we think it is. But you can see by the ingredients also how it's created. So anyway, similarly, when Lord Brahma was talking about the different kinds of ignorance one can fall into, he also spoke about the what kind of consciousness one can fall into. Tamasa, Maham, Mahamoham, Tamisram, Andhamisram. These are the fine kinds of different kinds of consciousness what one can attain by associating with these five different kinds of the ignorances. So that is also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. These things are so subtly explained. Krishna also talks about in the Ekadasha Skandam later on. But in the Lord Brahma at the time of creation, he is creating different things, all these different ignorances, different kinds of consciousness, and how it is getting embedded in the human consciousness, and the human society is living in that. And it is in that condition that we are now talking about that the these Sriya Sunam. Sriya means this association or the gross ignorance that manifests in a human mind with the association, immoral association of the women. So on man and woman. That is how it happens. It can happen to man, it can happen to women as well. So that is why all the disciplines, all the different rules and regulations have been set very strongly in the Shastra that we follow in this particular way. The rules and regulations are absolutely essential so that one may not fall into these kind of ignorances all the time. So similarly, Yudam Panam Sriya Sunam. Sunam means ultimately the merciless killing of the other living entities. That is Sunam. That Sunam, what it happens is that it makes a person completely, totally merciless. And you can see this example very well, that in a situation when there is too much of animal slaughter, wherever it is, it doesn't matter. Wherever the animal slaughter is going on, the people also have a tendency to quarrel. That kalaham or kali immediately takes over and they get an opportunity to quarrel, they will be quarrel whole line without any problem. So these are the subtle influences on a human consciousness by the result of gross sinful activities affects the person of his consciousness in a subtle way. Dyunam panam sriya sunam yatra dharmas chaturvidha. That these chaturvidha, these four principles of human life, makes a person, a human being, come to his proper senses. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when these questions were raised by Sudha Goswami, Shaunyaga Rishi, Sudha Goswami, Sudha Goswami said exactly the same thing that what was Sri Shukam said to Parikshit Maharaj also. So in this background, yatra dharmaschaturvidha, that you can see, Parikshit Maharaj has come for Prayavaresham ceremony, and while sitting there, all the sages were present there, and in that, among the sages, Dhaumya was also present there, along with Angiras. So, Dhaumya was present there, who has seen Parikshit's chart. And Dhaumya knew about what was going to happen to Parikshit. So, Dhaumya was aware of that. Angira's grandson, that means Angira's son is Shami Rishi, and his son is Shringi. So, Angira's knew what his grandson has done to curse this Parikshit Maharaj. So Angiras was also anxious to know what was going to happen, or he was aware of that, and so he was also present there along with Sri Narada Maharshi and all the other sages. And when they were all present there, it was at that time Sukadeva Goswami came onto the scene. Sukadeva Goswami arrived on the scene. Sri Shukam comes onto that scene at that time, and it is mentioned the Tatra Bhaval Bhagavan Vyasaputra. Vedavyasa Maharshi's son is Sri Shukam. So who else was present there? That is also interesting to note. When Parikshit Maharaj was giving up this body through Prayagavesham, his father Vedavyasa Maharshi was present there. Vedavyasa Maharshi's father Parashara Maharshi was also present there. It is mentioned in the Bhagavad Parashara's name. So Parashara was there, Vedavyasa was there, and Sri Shukam was there. So the three generations were already there. Angiras Maharshi was there. Shamaya Rishi was there, and his son, Shringi, who has cursed him, he didn't come because he knew that was going to happen. So all these sages who were present there, and it into that assembly that our Sukadeva Goswami walked in, accompanied by children and a few women, he came together into this avadhuda vesha. That he was like an avadhuda who was totally unaware of his own surroundings, was completely away from this body, totally in a different consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this, Sudha Goswami says to Shavanika Rishi like this, yatra bhavan bhagavan vyasa putra yadrchaya gam adaman abeksha. That it uses the word yadrchaya. Yadrchaya means, it has two meanings. Yadrchaya means accidentally. Yadrchaya gam adaman abeksha. That referring to Shishugan, that Shishugan just landed there. Sudeva Goswami landed there, yadrchaya, but by accident. But great scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam, they also give another meaning to that word, yadrchaya. Yadrchaya means, it's not only that he came there accidentally, or yadrchaya. Yadrchaya, it also means by whose icha, whose desire. That means it was Krishna's desire that Shishugan Maharshi should come there. Sudeva Goswami should come there to present Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So, yadrchaya dhamadamanonavetcha. That is how he came onto the scene. So, when Sudeva Goswami came onto the scene, Parikshit Maharaj was introduced to Sudeva Goswami. Have you not heard about Sudeva Goswami? He is the son of Yadavyasa Maharshi. We are so fortunate to see Sudeva Goswami here. Immediately, Parikshit Maharaj paid his full obeisances to Sudeva Goswami and asked Sukadeva Goswami to talk about Krishna. This was the only request Parikshit Maharaj put forward to Sukadeva Goswami. Now, the questions Parikshit asked, very, very, very important question. It is so important that this whole Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in answer to that question. The question was that when a person comes to know that death is waiting at the doorstep, what should one do? This was the question he raised. Is there such an intelligent question anybody else has raised any time in this world? Somebody will say, oh, the first thing you should call the ambulance. That would be the question. But Parikshit Maharaj was not waiting for the ambulance to come. Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, that what should one do when he knows that the death is waiting at the doorstep? This is the question. And Sukadeva Goswami, appreciating that question, in such a grave mood that Sukadeva Goswami's presence is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how beautiful he looked. How he looked? He looked exactly like Krishna. If you take Krishna's crown, if you take Krishna's flute, and if you take Krishna's garland, and if you take Krishna's garment, yellow garment, Sudeva Goswami looked like Krishna at that time. If you remove all these things from Krishna's body, Sudeva Goswami exactly looked like Krishna in that condition when he arrived there. So that's how beautiful he was. So Parikshit Maharaj received Sudeva Goswami, and Sudeva Goswami, appreciating this important question, this is why this whole Srimad Bhagavatam was presented to this world by Krishna, only for this one reason. That when he told Uddhava that at the time of departure, that if anyone in the future wanted to know that how can they get out of this material life, because material life means this cycle, birth and death continuously. This is what is known as material existence. Samsaram it is called. We sing in the morning, samsara dhavan ananidha lokam. Why samsaram? Samsaram is the word. All the spiritual transcendentalist people, they will mention this samsaram, because samsaram means all our experiences from birth to death and from death to birth. This is what is known as samsara. Or in other words, the cycle of repeated birth and death. Parikshit Maharaj did not want that. He wanted to come out of this cycle of birth and death. He wanted to free oneself, himself from this, and he wanted to go back home, back to Godhead, to liberation. And that is what he had in his mind. So that is why he asked this most important question to Sukadeva Goswami when he arrived there. That what should one do when he knows that he has got a notice here now, 7 days time, almost a lot of time has already gone in that, because after Sringi has cursed him, 7 days he had. In that 7 days time, Parikshit Maharaj has got back into his palace, and he had spent some time in installing Janamejaya as the next king. It is after that Parikshit Maharaj left the palace, handed over everything to Janamejaya and told him, now you manage yourself, I am leaving, he said. So by now, some of the time has already gone in the 7 days' time. So Parikshit Maharaj was very much aware that the time is very running short. He was short of time. So therefore, he was also equally serious about this question, as serious as Sudeva Goswami was to answer Parikshit Maharaj. It is in this background that the second canto begins in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sudeva Goswami begins the Srimad Bhagavatam. So at that time, there was something else that was happening there, that in that condition there, in the association of all these great personalities who were present there, they started discussion about Parikshit Maharaj, how they should help him. They were feeling compassion for him. Some of the sages were saying, why don't we ask Parikshit to practice some Ashtanga Yoga, because that might help him in his future. And somebody else was suggesting to him, maybe we should perform some big sacrifice like Ashwamedham or Rajasvim or something like that. So many great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature. Maybe we should perform some sacrifice to help Parikshit Maharaj to come out of this condition. And somebody else was suggesting, maybe Parikshit should perform a lot of charity. So, but none of these things was acceptable to Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami cut them off and told very clearly to Parikshit, a person, when he knows that the death is coming closer and death is at his doorstep, the only one and the only one thing what he has to do is to remember Krishna's lotus feet, nothing else. And this is how that instruction begins in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. From now on, it is Sudeva Goswami who is speaking. Up to now, this is the end of first canto. And this whole first canto was actually a background of Sri Sukadeva Goswami's arrival onto the scene. And Sukadeva Goswami now begins the serious instruction to Parikshit Maharaj of Srimad Bhagavatam, which will begin from the next Sunday. So, I will just read those two last chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the first canto.
ശ്രീസൂതവാചോഭാതിഗാധ്യസ്തുക്ഷകാൽപ്രാണവിപ്ലവാൽ ഗംഗാസ്വം കലേവരം നോത്തമശ്ലോകവാർത്താനം വിശദാം തൽപദാം ഭുജം താവൽക്കലിർന്ന പ്രഭവേൽ പ്രവിഷ്ടോ ബിഹ സർവദാ യാവദീശോ മഹാനുവ്യാം അഭിമന്യുവനേകരാൽ യസ്മിന്നഹരിയർഹീവ ഭഗവാനുൽസസർജകം തദൈവാഹാനുവൃത്തോസ അധർമ്മപ്രഭവക്കലീം നാനദ്വേഷ്ടികലിം സമ്രാൽ സാരംഗം യുവസാരമോ കുശലാന്യാശുസിദ്ധ്യന്തി നേതരാനിഖൃതാനിയൽ കിന്നുബാലേഷു ശൂരേണ കലിനാധീരഭീരുണ അപ്രമത്തപ്രമത്തേഷു യോർഗോ നൃഷവർത്തതേ ഉപവർണിതമേതദ്വം പുണ്യം ഭാര്യക്ഷിതം മയ വാസുദേവകതോഭേദം ആഖ്യാനം യത പൃച്ഛതാം യായാകഥാഭഗവദാ കഥനീയൊരു കർമ്മണ ഗുണകർമ്മാശ്രയാ പൊമ്പേ സംസേവ്യാസ്താഭുഭൂഷുഭീ കൃഷയോജോ സൂതജീവസമാസൗമ്യം ശാശ്വതീർവിശദം യശ യസ്ത്വം ശംസസി കൃഷ്ണസ്യ മർത്യാനാമൃതം ഹിനാം കർമ്മണ്യസ്മിന്നനാശ്വാസേ ധൂമധൂമ്രാത്മനാം ഭവാൻ ആവായേ നിഗോവിന്ദം പാദവൽമാസവം മധൂം തുലയാമലമേനാവി നസ്വർഗം നാപുനർഭവം ഭഗവത്സംഗിസംഗസ്യ മർത്യാനാം കിമുദാശിഷേം കോ നാമ തൃപ്യേന്ദ്രസമിൽക്കഥായം മഹത്തമേകാന്തപരായണസ്യ ഹരേരുദാരം ചരിതം വിശുദ്ധം ശുശ്രൂഷദാം വിദ്വാൻ സ വൈ മഹാഭാഗവത പരീക്ഷ ഏനാവർഗാഖ്യമത പ്രബുദ്ധി ജ്ഞാനേന വൈയാസ കിശബ്ദേന ഖഗേന്ദ്രധ്വജപാദമൂലം തന്ന പരം പുണ്യമസംവൃതാർത്ഥം ആഖ്യാനമത്യത്ഭുതയോഗനിഷ്ഠം ఆఖ్యాహినందాచరితోపన్నం పారీక్షితం భాగవదాభిరామం శ్రీసూత ఉవాచాం అహో వయం జన్మ మృతోధ్యహాస్మ వృద్ధానువృత్యా విలోమజాత కౌశల్యవాదిం విధునోతి శీఘ్రం మహత్తమానాం అభిధానయోగాః కుతః పునర్గణతో నామ తస్య మహత్తమైకాంతపరాయణస్య యోనందశక్తిర్భగవానందో మహర్గుణత్వాద్యమనందమాహూ ఏదావదాలం మనసూచితేన గుణైరసామ్యాన దిశాయనస్య ఇదోతి త్వేదరాన్ ప్రార్థయతో విభూరి అస్యాంధ్రిరేణం యుషదేన భీప్సో అథాపి యల్పాదమఘావసృష్టం జగ్వద్భిరించోపహృదాహరణాంభ శేషం పునాత్యన్యతమో ముకుందః కో నామ లోకే భగవల్పదార్థాః యత్రానిరక్తాసహసైవ ధీర వ్యపోహ్య దేహాదిషు సంగమూఢం వ్రజంతి నల్పారమహంస్యమంజం యస్మిన్ నహింసో వేషమసద్ధర్మస్వధర్మాః అహం హి పృష్టోర్యమణో భవద్భి ఆచక్ష ఆత్మావగమోత్రయావన్ నభ పదంద్యాత్మసమం పదత్రిన తథా సమం విష్ణుగతిం వివశ్చిదాః ఏకదాథ నిరుద్యమ్య విచరన్ మృగయాం భనే మృగాననిగత శాంత క్షితస్తృషితో భృశం జలాశయం మజక్షాణం ప్రవివేశతమాశ్రమం దదర్శం నివాసీనం శాంతం నీలిదలోచనం ప్రతిరుద్ధేంద్రియ ప్రాణం మనోబుద్ధిముపారదం స్థానత్రయాపరం ప్రాప్తం బ్రహ్మభూతమ విక్రయం విప్రయేణ చాచ్ఛన్నం గౌరవేణాజినేన చ శిష్యత్తాలిరుదగం తథా పూర్వమయాచతాం అలగ్ధర్తణభూమ్యాది రసంప్రాప్తాఖ్యసూనృత అవజ్ఞాతమివాత్మానం మన్యమానశ్చుకోపః అభూతపూర్వసహసా క్షుత్రుద్భ్యామర్తిదాల్పన రామణం మృత్యుభూద్బ్రహ్మన్ మత్సరో మన్యురేవ చ సదుబ్రహ్మకృషేరంసే గదాసురగం నృష వినిర్గచ్చిందనుష్కోట్యాం విధాయ పురమాగమల్ ఏష ఇన్ని మృదాశేష కరణోమీనిరీక్షణ ముషాసమాదిరాహోస్సు కిన్ను స్యాక్షత్రుబంధువీ తస్య పుత్రోది తేజస్వి విహరన్ బాలగోర్భగై అజ్ఞాతం ప్రాపితం తాదం శ్రుత్వా తత్రేదమబ్రవీల్ అహోమధర్మ బాలానాం తీర్ణాం బలిభుజామివ స్వామిన్యఖం యద్దాసానం వరమానాం శునామివ బ్రాహ్మణే క్షత్రబంధుహి ద్వారవాలో నిరూపిత సఘనం వల్గృహే ద్వాస్త సభాండం భోక్తుమర్హతి కృష్ణేకదే భగవతి శాస్త్రుల్పదగామినం తల్భిన్న సేవో నంద్యహం శాస్మి పశలమే ఫలం ఇత్యుక్త్వారషదామ్రాక్షో వయస్యా ఋషిబాలక కౌశిక్యామోవస్పృశ్య వాగ్వర్జం విససర్జః ఇది లంఘిత మర్యాదం తక్షక సప్తమే హని దంక్షతి స్మ కలాంగారం చోదిలో మే తదగృహం తదోభ్యేత్యాశమం బాలో గళే సర్పగళే వరం పితరం వీక్ష దుఃఖార్థో ముక్తకంఠోరురోధః సవా ఆంగిరసో బ్రహ్మన్ శ్రుత్వా సువిలాపనం ఉన్నీలేశనగైర్నేత్రై దృష్ట్వా స్వాంసే మృదోరగం విసృజ్య ఉత్రం వప్రచ్ఛ వల్సకస్మాద్ విరోదిషి ఏన వాదే ప్రతిఫలం ఇత్యుక్తస్తన్యవేదయల్ నిశమ్య శప్తదే శప్తమలదర్హం నరేంద్రం సబ్రాహ్మణో నాల్పజమభ్యనందల్ అహోపదాం హోమ హలజ్ఞదే కద అల్పీయసి ద్రోహముదర్ధమోదృతాః నవే నృభిర్నరదేవం పరాఖ్యం సంవాదుమర్హస్య వివక్వబుద్ధేః యత్తేజస దుర్విషహేన గుప్తా విందంతి భద్రాన్న కుతోభయా ప్రజాః అలక్ష్యమాణే నరదేవదాన్ని యథాంగమాణా వైమంగలోగ తదాహి ఘోర ప్రచురో వినంశ తిరక్ష్యమాణో విరోధవక్షణా తదధ్యన పాపో వైత్యన్వయం యం నష్టనాదస్య వసో విలంబవ పరస్పరం సన్నిషదం నిభృంజతే పశుం స్త్రియోత్థాన్ కురదస్య మోజనాః తదార్యధర్మశ్చైలీయదే నృణం వర్ణాశ్రమాచారితస్త్రయీమయ తదోత్తకామాభినివేశిరాత్మనాం శునాం కవీనామివ వర్ణసంగరాః ధర్మబాలో నరపతి సదుస్సంవాద్ బృహచ్చవ సాక్షాన్మహాల్ భాగవతో రాజర్షేర్హయమేధయా క్షుత్రోషమయతో దీనో దైవాస్మచ్చాపమర్హరి అభావేషు సుమృత్యేషు బాలేనా వక్వబుద్ధినా పాపం కృతం తద్భగవాన్ సర్వాత్మాక్షందుమర్హరి తిరస్కృతా విప్రలబ్ధా శబ్దా క్షిప్తా హరామవి నాస్తి తల్పతి కుర్వన్ని తల్భక్తాపమోభి ఇది పుత్రకృతాఖేన సోనుదత్తో మహాముని స్వయం విప్రకృతో రాజ్య నైవాహం నద చింతయల్ ప్రాయస్స సాధవో లోకే పరే ద్వందేషు యోజిత నవ్యధన్ని నహృష్యంది రమాత్మా గుణాశ్రయాః నిశిమద్భాగవతే ప్రథమస్కందే అష్టాదశోధ్యాయం దెన్ ది లాస్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో which is the arrival of Sri Sukadeva Goswami onto the scene, and Parikshit Maharaj is waiting there to listen to him, and the short conversation between them is in the
next chapter. Shri Suda Vajam Mahibari Suda Tal Karmagahim Vijindayan Nathavadam Sudurmana Ahomaya Nijamanari Velkram Nilagasi Brahmani Gudarejasi Dhruvam Dadomi Ankaradeva Helana Guratayam Nesanam Nari Dirghal Tadastu Gavam Thunishkradayami Yathana Guriyam Punareva Madha Adeva Rajam Bramurta Gosham Pralobidam Brahma Gula Nalomi Mahatumadrasa Punarna Nebul Pabi Yasidir Vijareva Gobhya Sajinda Yanitamadhasha Mudhyada Munesurukto Nidhis Tatharagya Nasadu Nini Najrina Tatshara Malamba Sakta Sivirakti Garam Atho Vihaye Mamum Jalon Vidarshido Hedaya Purastal Krishna Angri Seva Madhimanyamanam Upavishal Prayama Martinadhyam Yavaila Satche Tulasi Vimisha Krishna Angirinam Phyadilam Bunetri Punali Roganu Hayatrasesan Kastam Nase Veda Marishyamanah Idivya Vachidya Sabandaviyam Prayoga Vesham Prati Vishnu Padyam Dadhyo Mugundhangri Maranya Bhavo Unibrado Mukta Samasta Sangah Tatroba Jagnurbhuvanam Gunanam Mahana Bhavo Munayastha Shishyam Prayana Tirthabi Gamavadeshai Swayam Girthani Punandi Sandaha Atreva Sishta Shavanasharadvan Arishta Nemi Bhur Angirasha Parasharo Dhadisudo Dharama Udatya Indra Prapade Novahom Medhadidir Devala Mashti Shayano Bharadvajo Nyodama Piparada Maitreya Aurva Kavasha Kumbhayonir Duivayano Bhagavan Naradasham Anyeja Devarshi Brahma Shivaryam Rajar Shivaryam Ranu Dayascha Nana Shaya Pradhan Samida Abhyacharasha Raja Shirasava Vandim Sukhova Vishte Shadayashu Bhuya Krita Pranama Sujigir Shidamyal Vityavayama Savivitta Cheda Vastidogre Vimahidavani Shri Raju Vajam Ahovayam Dhanidamana Banam Mahatamana Vihani Yashila Rakyangulam Brahmana Bada Shoyal Vira Dvasishtam Paragahyagamam Tasseva Mekhasya Paravaresho Vyasakta Chittasya Bhesho Vishnam Nurveda Mulo Nijashavarubo Yatra Prasatto Bhayama Shudatem Tam Mubai Ojai Mubai Adam Pradiyandu Vipra Vingaja Devi Duda Jitta Mishe Vijoma Srishta Kuhala Tatshagova Ashatvaram Gaira Vishnu Dharam Punascha Vuyar Bhagavatya Nandi Yadi Prasangascha Dada Shrayeshu Mahasayam Yamubayami Srishtim Maitrestu Sarvatra Namo Dvijebhya Idisma Raja Divasaya Yukta Rajina Muleshu Kusheshu Dhira Udamuho Dakshana Mulamaste Samudra Patnya Susvanyasta Bharaha Evanja Dasmin Maradeva Devi Prayoga Vishte Divideva Sangha Prashasya Bhumu Vigiran Prasone Mudamoho Dunduvayaschanedu Maharshayovai Samuvagadai Prashasya Sadhitya Nimodamanam Ujur Prajanam Grihashira Sara Yuduttaman Shloka Guna Virupam Namayidam Rajarshi Vajya Jitram Bhaval Sukrishnam Samanam Pradeshu Edhyasanam Rajagirira Jushtam Sadyo Jahur Jahur Bhagavel Pashwamaha Sarvevayam Tavarihasma Hedya Kalevayam Yavata Sovihaya Lokam Param Mirajaskam Nishogam Yasya Akteyam Bhagavata Pradhanam Ashutyanadrushinganamajaparikshil Samammadichil Gurujavyalikam Avasha Vedana Vinandya Yukkan Shisu Shamanam Charitani Vishnoho Samagada Sarvadameva Sarvi Vedaya Dhamuti Harastri Prashtem Neha Dhava Mutra Jagaschanartam Krude Paranu Graham Atmashidam Tadashava Prachumimam Vipruche Vishrabhya Vipra Vidigritya Dayam Sarvatmana Vyamanesha Krityam Shuddham Jadatra Mavashabi Yukta Mishakabi Yukta Tatra Bhaval Bhagavan Vyasa Putro Yadrachaya Gamadamano Nabeksham Aleksha Lingo Vijalava Dushto Vradascha Bhalai Avaduda Vesha Tandushta Varsham Sumara Vadam Karuru Bahum Sakamola Gapram Charvaya Dakshana Sadulyakarnam Subhyananam Kambusujada Gantham Nikuda Yatram Bhagadunga Vakshasam Avartana Bhimbalivil Gudaramja Digambaram Matravirna Kesham Pralamba Bahum Sumarottamabham Shyamam sada abhichavayungalashmi astrenamanunyam rujirashminena Pratyuktidastemaya swasanebhyam stallakshanatya abhigudavarchasam Sa vishnu yadodidaya agadayam dasmai savariyam shirasa jahara Tado nivrtahivudastriyorbhaga mahasane sopavivesha pujidaha
സമൃതസ്തത്ര മഹാൻ മഹീയസം ബ്രഹ്മർഷി രാജർഷി ദേവർഷി സംഗേ വിരോചനാലം ഭഗവാൻ യതീന്ദുർ ഗ്രഹക്ഷതാരാ നികരൈ പരീതാഹ പ്രശാന്തമാസീനമകുണ്ഠമേതസം മുനിന്ദ്രവോ ഭഗവതോഭ്യവേദ്യ പ്രണമ്യമൂധാമഹിതകൃതാഞ്ജലി മത്വാ ഗിരാ സൂനുദയാ അന്വപൃച്ഛൽ ശ്രീ പരീക്ഷിത് വാച അഹോ മധ്യ വയം ബ്രഹ്മൻ സൽസേവ്യാ ക്ഷത്രബന്ധവ ത്വയാദിരൂപേണ ഭവന്തേ സ്ഥിർതയാ ധൃതാഹ യേഷാം സംസ്മരണാൽപുംസാം സദ്യശുദ്ധ്യന്തി വൈ ഗ്രഹ കിം പുനർദർശന സ്പർശം പാദശൌചാസനാദിവീ സന്നിധ്യത്തെ മഹായോഗി പാദകാനി മഹാന്ത്യവി സദ്യോ നശ്യന്തി വൈ പുംസാം വിഷ്ണോ വിരുവസുരേതരാഹ അഭിമേ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രീത കൃഷ്ണ പാണ്ഡുസുത പ്രിയ പൈതൃഷ്യേത്യർത്ഥം തൽഗോത്രസ്യാപ്തപാണ്ഡവാഹ അന്യഥാദേ വ്യക്തകതിർദർശനം ന കഥം നൃണാം ഇതരാം വ്യമാനാനാം സംസിദ്ധസ്യ വിനീയസാം അത പൃച്ഛാമി സംസിദ്ധിം യോഗിനാം പരമം ഗുരും പുരുഷസ്യേഹ യൽക്കാര്യം യേമാനസ്യ സർവഥാ യച്ഛോദവ്യവധോ ജപ്യം യൽക്കർത്തവ്യം നൃവി പ്രഭോ സ്മർത്തവ്യം വജനീയം വാ ദ്രോഹി യദ്വാ വിപര്യയം നൂനം ഭഗവതോ ബ്രഹ്മൻ ഗൃഹേഷു ഗൃഹമേദിനം ന ലക്ഷ്യസേഹവസ്ഥാനം അതിഗോദോഹനം ക്വചിൽ ശ്രീസൂത ഉവാചാം ഏവമാഭാഷിത പൃഷ്ട സരാജ്ഞാ ഷഷ്ടയാ ഗിര പ്രത്യഭാഷധർമ്മജ്ഞോ ഭഗവാൻ ഭാദരായണീ ഇത് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രമസ്കന്ദേ ഏകോനവിംശോധ്യായാം സോ ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ഫസ്റ്റ് കാൻഡോ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് കാൻഡോ സുദേവ് ഗോസ്വാമി ഹാസ് ബീൻ ലെഫ്റ്റ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ വാട്ട് പരീക്ഷിത് മഹാരാജ് റേസ്ഡ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പോയിന്റ് that what should one do at the time of death. This question is not only for Parikshit, this is for all of us. Actually, it's not keeping Parikshit as the as only an object. Sudev Goswami has presented Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of the whole human society. In fact, that is for everybody. We all wait for that day to happen one day or the other. So one who is conscious of this, one who is aware of this, it is to such a person Srimad Bhagavatam is addressed to. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those people who are conscious of that those who are not conscious of death and those who think that they are living eternal, they can live in that world forever. Nobody will going to change them. But those who are conscious that death will happen one day and that can happen any time, that it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen also. So for to their benefit, Sudev Goswami presented Srimad Bhagavatam in the remaining 11 cantos. So it is then that Parikshit Maharaj was preparing himself for the death, and all he wanted to hear was about Krishna. And Sudev Goswami very quickly in the second canto, in the first few chapters, talks about all the other possibilities of the liberation, process of liberation, like Karma Mukti and Sravya Mukti, and the two different process of liberation. He touches that very briefly. But then he goes back into the story of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will continue with Srimad Bhagavatam from the second canto from next Sunday. And if there's any questions or comments, please. Takshaka has done something which Krishna had wanted him to do. Because in all this, in fact, when Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj, in the Bhagavatam it says that Sharmika Rishi, his father, sensed that this is not something which would have normally happened. Like, it was unusual for a boy to put such a heavy curse on his king like that. After all, there you will see in the Bhagavatam that Sharmika Rishi is saying to his son, King Parikshit was not a bad person after all, he was a devotee. And that you have given him a punishment which actually he doesn't deserve. I mean, you have to punish a person depending on the offense he has committed. Just because he has thrown a snake around the neck, for that to curse him that he will die in 7 days, bitten by Takshaka, is a very, very heavy punishment, which should not have happened. So Sharmika Rishi immediately could understand
that this whole thing has happened by Krishna's arrangement. There was behind it, somebody prefers it to his time, or the Supreme Lord behind it. And similarly, Tashaga's biting, Kesara's curse, all these incidents is behind that is Krishna. So you couldn't say it was done, It's only also trying to tell us that we, although we consider ourselves very independent in this world, we are actually in reality, we are not independent. Every one of us are moved by Krishna's arrangement in this world. We are acting in different ways. So a devotee's position in relationship to that is his praise to Krishna, that in all times that Krishna keeps him in the right side of the life, not going to the wrong side. Because Krishna wants all living entities in this. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita that verse, which Vedavyasa Maharshi says very clearly, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtavi brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarudhani maya. Exactly like a cogwheel, we are all sitting in this world thinking that I am this, I am that, I am so big, I am so small. All these different things are in our mind, but in reality, it is behind us is Krishna who is moving us in all these different positions. So that's what that instance is showing, that Tashaka was also not free from whatever Krishna has planned. Because it was Krishna's desire that Parikshit should throw that snake on the sage's neck. It was Krishna's desire that Sringi should curse him. It was Krishna's desire that Sringi should curse him, that he should be beaten by Tashaka. So behind everything is, it was only Krishna, nothing else.
Krishna wanted to introduce him, Vamanam, so that's all that.
Yes, exactly. Well, Tashaka was actually making sure that Kashyapa Maharaj, Tashaka knew, had a doubt about Kashyapa's ability to cure the poisonous effect. And Kashyapa had not thought about it, and he didn't even recognize first. He didn't even recognize first it was Tashaka who was going in the form of a Brahmana there. So when Tashaka saw him, that first he heard from Kashyapa of his intention of going to Parikshit. So at that time, Tashaya revealed himself that I am Tashaya, that Brahmana who is dressed in the Brahmana. Because you will see throughout Srimad Bhagavatam at different instances, Sukadeva Goswami was aware that Tashaya was already there in the assembly in Nansharani, in the Ganga, Ganges river bank. And he has seen that, and he was rushing actually of the Srimad Bhagavatam to finish quickly as possible. So occasionally he will remind Parikshit. At one stage he told him also that, is there anything more you want to know? And that question had a subtle point he was trying to bring, that already Tashaka has arrived on the scene. So instead of directly telling Parikshit Maharaj, he has told Parikshit that, is there anything you wanted to know more? That question he put forward in the middle, and it's at the end of the 11th canto. And then he finishes the 12th canto and he leaves the place straight away. But by then he knew Tashaka has arrived. So actually, Tashaka and Kashyapa Maharshi, they are all personalities of that time who had tremendous strength in their own way. You couldn't compare them with the living entities of today's world. And they all acted according on a spiritual way. Everything in their activities also, Kashyapa Maharshi, Atrayi Maharshi, they were all such powerful personalities who could do things which is beyond our understanding. And they were purely acting, prompted by Krishna from within. And we have to accept it like that. Expected to go there by Atrayi Maharshi. He went there and spent 41 days worshipping the deity, and by the Lord of the Guruvayur, he was relieved from that depressing and he went back to Hastinapur.
Same deity,
yes, exactly, yes.
Krishna's deity, right?
Yes.
Yes. Guru Vayu.
Yes. The deity came from Dwaraka to Vayu. It was brought by Brihaspati and Vayu. They together brought and installed the deity there. So, so Janmeja, who was who got relieved from leprosy, went back to Hastinapur, and then he ruled the planet for quite some time after that. And then it was then that he left and handed over to his children from then on to rule the planet.
So you know this connection after Janmeja, after Prasanna, the big Janmeja, how was
spent?
After Janmeja Mara,
yeah.
How this Yatmala spirit have?
Yeah.
After Janmeja Maharaj left the world, how this Atlantic has been split until today's history?
Yeah.
Can you know anything about that?
Yeah, the the Janmeja's departure is in the ninth canto, comes later. Then Janmeja and who all so many kings came after that. But since then, the Vedic culture also started diminishing in different parts of the world, and different personalities took over the kingdoms at different places. And from the Shastra point of view, what was important was what has happened from Hastinapur, who ruled. That was more important. So the dynasty of the lunar dynasty finishes at one point, and from then on it's practically anarchy. In different places, different people took over the administration of the planet, and they ruled according to their own understanding. And that is why we see so many different monarchs and monarchies all over the world. And this has come from that situation. But then it was also the beginning of the Kali. Kali's presence in this world, that these things have happened. That generally people have lost their enthusiasm for spiritual life, and they become more engrossed in the bodily concept of life and maintaining the body. So naturally, with the advancement of the bodily civilization, and accordingly the kings also became prominent in that way, and they started ruling the planet at different places. And then this one king and one emperor concept has finished with that. And so we are particularly not concerned about that too much. What is important is that these right up to Janmeja, all these great personalities came, they were all great Kshatriyas, and at the same time they were great devotees as well. This is the most interesting thing to know, that they were Kshatriyas in their spirits. They have executed on behalf of Krishna, they ruled the planet. But at the same time, ultimate goal of life was known to them. This is what was good thing about it. That they encouraged themselves, not only they executed spiritual life, they encourage the human society also to engage in spiritual life. Whereas after that, all the other things what you find since then is that they were only learned how to exploit the people and how to set up their own dynasties from then on. So therefore, it is not considered to be a bona fide system since then, and that is the end of the monarchy in this world. And then we have got other systems of government, administration, democracy and all that, very much later, isn't it? So, anyway, Parikshit Maharaj was one of the last in that link, along with before Janmeja. And Parikshit Maharaj's administration is praised in the Bhagavatam so much that because he took the administration in such a difficult time that he had to deal with Kali, and dealing with Kali was the most difficult thing. Today, suppose in this planet, if you want to get rid of all the sinful activities, is it possible? It's not possible, is it? Because it's so much into people's life now. And it will be so difficult for them. First of all, to convince them is difficult, that it is a sinful thing. And secondly, even if you convince them, it will be not easy for them to give it up, these sinful activities of life. And when majority of the human society is engaged in sinful activity, the result is that the human society has to suffer. Like this yesterday or the day before, they were saying that NHS is short of funds, and out of the shortage of funds, 3 billion it cost them to cure alcoholism. So if 3 billion has to go for alcoholism, and they have to tax more money from the people because it's a problem. And similarly, another few billions for the drugs, another few billions for something else. So like this, the whole economy is geared on sinful life. Sinful life is the basis of the whole economy. And if there is no sinful life, there will be no business for NHS. There will be no business for so many other people. They will all go out of business. So to save them all and to keep them in business, you have to continue this sinful life. And that's the way the economy is geared. And they are so proud of it, that this is such a wonderful advanced civilization on this planet. And this is the unfortunate thing, that very simple ways these kings were able to understand, because the kings knew what sinful life means and how human societies suffer from sinful life, they were able to strictly enforce the rules of the spiritual life on the human society, and human society could accept that also because they had that kind of consciousness. But today it is a completely different situation. So.
What do you mean by Aham Brahmasmi realization?
Aham Brahmasmi means, in the impersonal tradition, they have different realizations. Different realizations means, when Shankaracharya preached their philosophy, he gave the different followers different mantras. These are words from the Upanishads. Aham Brahmasmi means, I am Brahman. I am Brahman. In other words, there is no difference between me, the spirit soul, and the super soul. We are one and the same. Then identification with the absolute truth. So it is possible in their process that they come to that realization by the practice of their process of spiritual life. They get to that. Similarly, there is also Pratyanam Ayam Brahma, Ayam Atman Brahma, Tattvamasi. These are the four things they follow. They all, in reality, they all more or less means the same. But it has come from different Upanishads, and Acharya Swamiji preached that to his followers, and they practiced that in the Jnana Marga. Jnanis who wants to advance on the impersonal side, they follow this process of these mantras. They take the instructions are given how to chant them and what kind of discipline they have to follow. And that is a different kind of process than us. But that's Aham Brahmasmi realization. I have to come to the point that I am spirit soul. Today we can talk, we say theoretically we can say we are spirit soul. We have some understanding, theoretically. Because Krishna has told us in the Bhagavad Gita that I am spirit soul. But that realization is not there though. Although we claim that I am spirit soul, as soon as the body gets hurt, or there is hunger, or if you want a prasadam, immediately there is no prasadam. Aham Brahmasmi goes away straight away. It's over there, isn't it? So our Aham Brahmasmi stops there. But that's not Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi is that condition where one has completely come out of that bodily concept of life. And almost all the sages are in that state of consciousness. That's why they could perform such austerities and penances in the forest. Here, if you are asked to fast one morning, we look at the watch when 1 o'clock will come for the prasadam. So that's the difference between the sages and the us. So that's our Aham Brahmasmi.
In a room, even a paramahamsa is walking, he's probably, I think, followed by some rishis and some disciples and all that. But when Sridhar Goswami was walking, he was followed by children and women. What could that be? Is it because of his bodily beauty or something?
Yeah. They were attracted to the beauty of Sudeva Goswami. But they were also aware that Sudeva Goswami is not on the bodily concept of life. That's why you will see in the Bhagavadam, when Sudeva Goswami left home and walked away, in the beginning it says there, that Vedavyasa Maharshi called him Putra, Putra, Putra. He was calling him to come back. Putra never turned back. Who answered? The trees and the plants and the creepers were answering. Why? Because his Aham Brahmasmi realization was so high that he could know that in all these different living entities, it's me who is present. He was aware of that. So therefore, instead of him replying, all the plants and the trees were answering. While walking away, women were bathing in a lake. And at that time, they didn't cover themselves with the cloth. They were bathing naked in the half naked or in the lake. But they didn't cover themselves when Sudeva Goswami walked in his Digambara form, in his naked form. Why? Because they knew that Sukadeva Goswami has gone beyond this bodily level of consciousness, bodily consciousness. He was far beyond that. Later on, when Vedavyasa Maharshi came that way, they covered themselves with a cloth. It seems, that's why it says in the Mahabharata, that Vedavyasa Maharshi's realizations were lower than compared to Sukadeva Goswami in the spiritual side of God. He was such a perfection as a personality on the spiritual side. So primarily the reason was that the women, everybody knew who Sukadeva Goswami was and what his realizations were. That's what that is. Stop there. All glory Srila Prabhupada.
Today is Dinratna Prabhu ki.